The foreclosure crisis has been going on in this country since 2007. As of the end of this year, we will have lost 5 million homes to foreclosure. Of course, if you're not in it, you'd never know it, because no one ever talks about it. They're just too ashamed.
Well, it's the bottom line for you right now. You had your chance, and you let us down.
The banks know how to screw with your brain. It's so funny because we don't have many friends, but when we do talk, we don't talk about our mortgages and things like that. That's not something we talk about because we're so embarrassed that it's gotten that way.
We can't stay. We can't stay.
Losing your home to foreclosure when you don't even know what you did wrong, well, that's the kind of thing that a lot of people will just never get over. And you can't talk to anybody about it. Nobody understands it. That's maybe the worst part of the whole thing, to feel ashamed and be abandoned.
The home foreclosures, they're not bringing it up. It's not one of their main topics, and it should be.
It's very stressful because you don't know if they're going to come knocking on your door at any time and tell you to get the heck out.
My husband had a heart attack, so it was a lot of stress. So he almost died.
They have all the power. That's what's scary. The banks have all the power. You have no power whatsoever.
The third month, I guess I just gave up, and I thought, there's no way they're going to take my home, and there's nothing else I can do, you know?
I mean, there's a lot of people losing their homes, and I feel sorry for them.
It's very scary. Very scary. I would never want to go through that again. And look at all the empty homes now because of it. So many empty homes from these banks, so they're losing money, so it's stupid.
I see in the newspaper that there's still so many people that are losing their homes. Nobody wants to talk about that.
This is a very, very scary time in your life when they can just walk away and take away your home anytime. And I've seen it happen to so many people. Some banks will just deny you no matter what.
I never told anyone. Never. I couldn't. I was so embarrassed.
Some people.
I tried working with the bank, and they didn't want to work with me. They didn't return my calls.
You don't want to be in my company. So you hide me away from.
We had refinanced on our loan years back to help with medical bills.
Can I stay? Can I stay?
I was in one of those bad adjustable negative arm type of payments, and they adjusted it from 12 or 1300. They went clear up to 1800, and I couldn't afford it. Why don't they want to make that one of their main issues? But they don't. You know, they don't want to talk about it. Never bring it up.
It's the bottom line and an empty house.
This is a very, very scary time in your life when they can just walk away and take away your home anytime. And I've seen it happen to so many people. The banks make you feel like shit because you're the one that took the loan out and you're responsible for that loan. And we pay our bills, and so that, you know, we're not pieces of shit. So we felt like shit because they made us feel like shit. You know what I mean?
Said they can't stay. They can't stay.
Because you never knew if they were going to come knocking on your door at any time and say you're out. You have no idea. So it's very, very stressful.
I did fill out an application. Finally, you know, it took me 3 months. Filled it all out, sent it back to them, and then they, another month or two later, they sent me a letter and said I was denied. I didn't get the modification. This went on for 5 or 6 months with the bank. The people that have had troubles, you know, I told them about what I went through.
This is Martin Andelman from Mandelman Matters, and you're listening to Voices from the Silent Crisis.
I know my neighbor next door, she has a daughter, and her husband, and they lost their house in Westminster because they didn't even try. They didn't contact anybody. They didn't call the bank. They didn't do anything. So they lost their house.
In the years before today's crisis, very few people ever went into foreclosure. If you lost your job, or you got divorced, or you got sick, or you were injured and you couldn't work for a while, you could either sell the house or you could borrow against it. Our homes were always our safety net. They were also the safest place to invest our money. That's what we've always been told. Buy a house, play it safe. Stock markets can be risky. Homes, we were always taught, couldn't. So when we came out of the dot-com bubble, having lost our shirts on pets.com, we all went straight for real estate, because homes couldn't go to zero. Homes would always be there. They were the responsible thing to do. But people that went into foreclosure were seen as irresponsible. People that had bought too much house, or couldn't manage their debt, couldn't pay their bills. Deadbeats. The thing is that the people going into foreclosure today are not the same people that went into foreclosure years ago. It's not more of the same. Today, everything's different. But that hasn't been easy for the country to understand. Many people in the country still view somebody that goes into foreclosure as a deadbeat borrower, even though they're in trouble today, for the same reason that, say, General Motors got in trouble, or any of the banks on Wall Street. It all happened because of a credit crisis, because mortgage-backed securities were rated AAA, sold all over the world, and when they had to be downgraded, there was a run on the bond market. Credit dried up fast, and housing prices started to fall off a cliff. It started there during the summer of 2007 and snowballed to where we are today. Homeowners and consumers stopped spending. Businesses started to lay people off. When credit tightened, the economy started to slide downward. Millions of people waited quietly in this country for Barack Obama to become president, because he was going to do something about this. And he did. He told us to get our loans modified. And he said it'd be easy, through a new program called HAMP. All we had to do was call our bank directly, or call a HUD counselor, and everything would be fine. We'd make it through this after all. And when it didn't work, as he had described it, no one was sure why at first. But a lot of people just didn't care. After all, they're just irresponsible borrowers who bought houses they can't afford. And when the borrowers called the banks treated them like they were just another regular deadbeat foreclosure, couldn't pay the bills. And it looked right, with unemployment climbing into double digits, people losing jobs, hundreds of thousands a month. It looked like a bunch of people that couldn't pay their bills, because now they really couldn't.
Well, I sat down to pay my bills today. It was nearly an impossible feat.
The homeowners, for the most part, and I'm talking about 99%, are victims of what happened.
When we bought the house 21, 22 years ago, it was worth the market value, and then our market value just completely went down to the ground, just completely.
Sure, there's some people that took out loans that they shouldn't have taken out, but most people were told, hey, don't worry. Once the loan hits that reset mark, just come back in and we'll refinance it for you. It's not going to be a problem. They signed up for these so-called 327, 426 mortgage loans, and these are the ones that have very low payments for the first 3 or 4 years, and all of a sudden they hit the reset, and your payment goes up 400%.
Considering the high price. We were kind of talked into the adjustable rate mortgage, telling me it wouldn't go up that much, and it actually did. And I worked full-time, and my husband worked full-time, and we just couldn't make it. The mortgage went had an adjustable rate, and after 5 years, it adjusted from $2,100 to $3,800 a month. Just getting hit with that just hurt, because I couldn't come up with the $4,000 a month. I had four kids living at home and just couldn't do it. And then working full time, it was really tough. It was very tough.
Skyrocketing oil, simply. exploding health care, ever rising taxes, ongoing inflation. Where the hell's my money gone blue?
It was interesting at the beginning, about 3 years ago, there was a lot of speculation about how all this was going on, and there was all the talk about people taking advantage of easy money so they could buy houses and flip them. Maybe there was some of that, but boy, I tell you, these are people who have jobs or had jobs and have lost them or had illnesses, and the houses we're seeing people lose these days, these have been the family homes for many, many years.
With a bottle of wine and some brie, yes-a-ree. Not much hope for the economy.
Due to the fact of the economy losing the job, so it's not easy for me to get a job as easy as it used to be. My husband got injured, fractured his back, where he wasn't able to work anymore.
Baby boomers will retire with all the money they require. The only ones to work.
If you don't think it's in your neighborhood, look around.
To my attention, who can count on a pension? And there's not much dough in Social Security. I've got those out-of-sight tuition, skyrocketing oil, simply exploding healthcare, ever-rising taxes, ongoing inflation. Where the hell's my money gone blue?
People are trying to keep the home, and they want to pay for it. They had nothing to do with this financial crisis. The Wall Street folks betting the farm on a deal they knew was going to go south, they caused it. There's plenty of blame to spread around here. I think it's time to maybe stop blaming, and let's just recognize the problem and try to do something about it.
When you talk about saving homes from foreclosure, you're talking about loan modifications. I know there's other ways that you can save a home from foreclosure. You can go to court and litigate, and you can do a short sale, and there's a deed in lieu of foreclosure and maybe Chapter 13 bankruptcy. But for the most part, in millions and millions of instances, people have saved their homes through a loan modification. The problem is that in millions and millions of cases, people have also lost their mind trying to get their loan modified.
I tried to talk to Litton Loan, and for about a year and a half, I kept all my documents trying to get them to try to modify my loan, and they wouldn't do it. I sent them several FedExes with all the papers that they required, and that got nowhere. So then that's why I turned to CDA Law, and they were able to help.
Instead of me answering the question of whether someone should have a lawyer or not to get their loan modified, I wanted to talk to some homeowners that had been through that decision-making process in real life. So I contacted CDA Law in Orange County, California. I've known the lawyers there for over 3 years. I think they do a great job. I asked the managing partner at CDA Law if I could talk to some of his clients about how they chose the firm and what they went through in getting their loan modified, and he was nice enough to contact some clients, get permission, and forward me the contact info. Excerpts from those interviews are what follows.
Try to get a loan modification on your own, or?
No, I didn't even want to try that because I knew how much involved it was going to be. And the more that it's really hard to do it by yourself. I know that. I don't think I would have been able to handle the stress because the banks will give you the runaround. My advice, don't do it on your own because they will mess with your brain.
I was very skeptical about going to a lawyer because I went through, you know, one or two before and they wasn't legit.
Sick of this depression, follows me around.
You know, it's scary. There's a lot to do, a lot. Unless you know how to deal with the banks, I wouldn't tell anybody to do their loans. I went to CDA Law Center. They're very good.
Cause everybody's problems.
I was pretty skeptical about this law group, but they did the job and they did it very good.
Horrible trying to figure out how to do this on my own. So glad that they came along.
But I am very happy with the lawyers because they made it, even though it was very scary and very stressful, they made it much easier than if I would have done it were on my own.
The banks need to be a little more lenient working with people having trouble with their mortgage payments. No question about it.
It was very stressful, but they really released a lot of the stress. We had to pay the lawyer, and the payment wasn't that bad. It was worth it.
They got it to where we can afford the payments. They were able to knock off money off of our principal balance and bring our payments down to what we could afford. Yeah, it's just a miracle that they were able to help and do that much. I'm thoroughly grateful to them.
This person that I worked with, she knew exactly what she was doing.
But they kept you informed all the way along, which is wonderful. We've been able to afford our house payments, and it's wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And then now, I've referred two people to CDA Law because they are going through the exact same thing. You know, they didn't want to tell me. One of them is my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law, and the other one is just good friends. And I just hurt for them, and I turned them over to on CDA Law, and they're thrilled with it, so.
Scary, scary, scary. The housing is so horrible. You either stick with it or you walk away from it. And we just don't give up, you know?
Well, that's the end of the first installment of The Silent Crisis. You want to know the biggest problem that we have related to the foreclosure crisis? It's the perception that people in foreclosure are irresponsible borrowers. Half the people think, don't help them. And that's what stops our politicians from being able to do anything about this. And if we can't solve the housing crisis, we can't fix the economy either. The people that are in trouble aren't in trouble because they did something wrong. They're in trouble because their home is underwater. And then once you're underwater, any life event can throw you into foreclosure. I hope you see that. It's got nothing to do with personal responsibility. And let me tell you something about life. If nothing bad has happened to you yet, that's great. But when we see someone less fortunate, we got to remember that they're but for the grace of God go us all. When did it become okay not to care? Well, we better start caring, because if we don't come together, we're never going to turn this country around, and it's going to be a long time and a long way down. Well, I'll tell you who I care about more than anything in the world. My wife, Stacy, and my daughter, Taylor. They mean the world to me, and they've made it possible these last few years for me to dedicate the time to helping people. Because houses aren't the most important thing in the world. We are not what we drive or where we live. Wherever Stacy and Taylor are, I'm home. So thanks for listening. We're going to go out with a song dedicated to my wife, Stacy, and my daughter, Taylor. I couldn't be more proud. So happy holidays, everybody, and Merry Christmas. Have a great holiday season. This is Martin Andelman from Andelman Matters, and this has been a special edition Quiet Crisis podcast. And here's a little Christmas present for Stacy and Taylor. It's called You're My Home. I love you both more than you'll ever know.
Life is hard and cruel and painful. If you want to know the truth, not the innocent adventure I imagined in my youth. And each time I've had the feeling that the fun would never end, there was always some disaster waiting further round the bend. So I don't know how I would have made it through if it wasn't for the you're my home, my inspiration. You're the one place I belong.
You're my deepest consolation and the soul that's kept me strong. You're the first thing I remember and the final truth I see. Oh Lord, I am not worthy of this loving family. You have hugged and slugged and teased me, made me cry and made me laugh. You've told me when I'm stupid, but you've always had my back. I have sensed you at my shoulder when I'm pressed against a wall. That feeling made me bolder, keep on fighting when I fall. And it's something I don't often say out loud, but being part of you has always made me proud. You're my home, my inspiration. You're the one place I belong. You're my deepest consolation and the soul that's kept me strong. You're the first thing I remember and the final truth I see. Oh Lord, I am not worthy of the love you give to me. And oh, it's true delight to see you all. Dad was fond of saying, to thine own self be true. Live your dreams with dumb conviction, and you'll finally make it through. Keep believing in the beauty and the romance when it rains. With a little luck, God's good grace, we just may meet again. And I wonder what the angels all will say about the party we'll be having on that day. You're my home, my inspiration. You're the one place I belong. You're my deepest consolation and the soul that's kept me strong. You're the first thing I remember and the final truth I see. Oh Lord, I am not worthy of the love you give to me. Not worthy of these hearts, this home gave.